Could we open our Bibles to Exodus 13 and reading verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. What a strange verse to read so out of the context. But as we look tonight at this wonderful subject of salvation, the security, the certainty, and the enjoyment of salvation, I would like to open first the question with what is the way of salvation. You know, in Acts chapter 16, it says, there's a verse, I'll just read it, and some of the verses that we read, you don't need always to try to find the place, it's better to just write down the verse if you're taking notes, and to be able to check it out at home. It says in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And I believe tonight we have come together to understand, first of all, the way of salvation. And this verse that we have read in Exodus, this verse sounds a little strange. We have been reading of a firstling of an ass. How strange that God gave this commandment that when there was the firstborn of an ass, that this ass, the firstborn, had to be, how does it say? It had to be redeemed. And redeemed with a lamb. Now imagine that situation. A man has just received this firstborn of an ass, this firstling. He comes to the priest and he says, listen priest, you know, I know there's this commandment here, but you know I love this little ass and it's all I have. I want to keep it. Is there no other way, you know? What can we do? I know the law is now telling us I have to take a little lamb and I have to kill the lamb instead of the ass. But is there not, you know, is that really necessary? The priest say, yes, it is. You know it's a commandment of the Lord. Yeah, but is it really? I don't have the money for a little lamb. The priest say, there's no other way. You don't have the money for a little lamb and you cannot redeem it. What should be done? Break his neck. We'll have to kill it, the little ass, the little donkey. Kill it. Yeah, but I love it so much. There comes another Israelite. And he's coming close and he is listening. He hears the word. The what is being said between the priest and this poor Israelite. And he said, listen, I have a little lamb. And I will bring it. So he brings the lamb. The priest takes the lamb and kills it, burns it on the altar. And once he's finished, he comes back to the man with the little ass, the first thing of an ass. And he says, you can go now. The ass is redeemed. Do we get the story and the moral meaning of it? What it means for us? You know, all these things that we see in the Old Testament are told for us to understand spiritual things. And the Lamb, who is the Lamb? It is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God. And we know that in In Isaiah, we can read of this lamb. I will just read a few verses. How does it speak of the Lord Jesus prophetically? Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 we read, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He has once suffered for the sins. He became the Lamb of God. He was the just and is the just, but he died for the unjust, which is every one of us. Do we get an understanding of the Lamb of God and what he did? And I read the last verse in Romans chapter 4. And there it says in verse 25, and read for the context, 23, Now it was not written for his sake, that is for Abraham alone, that it, that is the faith, was imputed to him alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Isn't that wonderful to understand that the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God and has truly died in our stead? Is there anything necessary? How secure are we now? This is the question. How good of a salvation have we received? You see, the one that had this little ass in the Old Testament, for him there was no other way. Either he would redeem it through a lamb, or he would have to break his neck. That means this little ass speaks of each one of us. It is either we will have to be lost forever, or somebody else has to take the judgment. And who did take the judgment? The Lamb of God. Yes. You see, when we understand this, we can be sure. But this is just to explain the way of salvation. Someone has to die, and someone did die.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was crucified. He laid his life. He gave it. This is the way of salvation. But when we look to the knowledge of salvation, it is a different thing. One thing is to know that salvation has been secured, someone has paid the price. The other thing is to know this now for me. Because there are many people who think that, you know, if you behave bad, you could be lost again. That the salvation can be applied once to you, but maybe you can fall away again. You are not secure. The little ass was redeemed. He was redeemed once and for all. The little lamb had died, and the ass was free. And didn't speak only of the ass, but it spoke also, he says, And all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. But when we come to our personal knowledge of salvation, it's a whole different ballgame. It's something that we have to really understand. One thing is what Christ did for us, and he has opened the way. He's the door. But now, once we have entered, it is good for us to know that he has done it once and for all. And I would like to just bring up this expression in Luke chapter 1. It says, you don't need to turn to it, in verse 77, It speaks there about the prophecy about the John the Baptist, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. And then it says, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. You see, there's not only the way of salvation, there's also the knowledge of salvation. And now as we think of the knowledge of salvation, I would like to first read a very important key verse to show and to prove to all of us that we can know if we are saved or if we are not saved. That we can know for sure. 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, and turning to chapter 5, reading verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So who is you? Those that believe on the name of the Son of God, and it is those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It is those that have been saved. And now it goes on in this verse, it says, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. See, most people think that eternal life is something that is gonna that we could receive in the future once we get to heaven. But what does it say here? It says that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know for sure on this earth if we are saved or not.
Yes.
And this is very important for us. It is not depending on our feelings. Mm. Someone has used the example of an anchor. If you're looking of a captain using an anchor to secure a ship, what does he do? Will he put the anchor inside his boat and let it down somewhere in the bottom of his boat? Looking inside? No, he has to put it outside into the sea. And so we cannot start to look inside. Do I feel safe today? No, I don't feel safe today. Terrible. And then we fall into depression, and then we start to cry out to the Lord and get converted once and once again. And you know, when we are children and we get to know the Lord Jesus quite early, and sometimes we are not taught correctly, then we start to, because we are afraid we could be lost once more, am I really saved, so I better get converted once more. And some get converted over and over and over again. This is sad. But you know, some even adults are still in this, are still looking inside for their feelings. Do I feel saved? Am I really secure? If you look inside, you will never feel saved. If you put the anchor inside, it's not going to help. It helps only if the anchor is outside and is hooked to the rock, and the rock is the Lord.
Yes.
So there's only security of the knowledge if we understand. Now I'm going to turn again to Exodus. We were in chapter 13. Let's turn to chapter 12. In chapter 12 we have the Passover. We see there the story of the Israelites, and we know that the last plague and the last judgment against Egypt was that the firstborn would be killed. The firstborn of every house that did not obey the Lord. That was true for Egyptians and the Israelites, just the same. All were under the same test. What was the test? God had said, take a little lamb, keep it for 4 days. You get used to it, you love it after 4 days, and then you have to kill it. This is the Passover. Why is it called Passover? Because I will go through that night, throughout the land, and I will pass by each house, and I will look if you then have taken the blood of this lamb, and if you have put it on the post, the door post and the upper part, all around the door, and I will look, and if I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass by, so to speak. I will pass over the house. Otherwise, I will kill the firstborn. So the rule was clear. What they had to do was clear. And the judgment was clear. Everything was clear. And now it only depended if the family and the firstborn did believe in that commandment and that's gonna, the judgment was coming. It's like today. We have to decide, do we believe that judgment is coming? And then those that were believing it, they killed the lamb. And again, the lamb died instead of the firstborn. They put the blood all around the doorpost. And then we look now at two houses of Israelites. Both have applied the blood. In both houses there is a firstborn. In both houses there is one young man, and there is a difference between both. One young man, he's shaking in his boots. He's there. He's looking each time, going out again, looking, is the blood still there? Yeah, the blood is there. Okay, I'm going inside. 5 minutes later, you're going outside, is the blood there? Yeah, the blood is there. Okay, I'm going inside. Oh, midnight coming now. Midnight. 10 to midnight. Goes out, looks again, the blood is there. In the other house, the young man is quiet. Sits there. He knows he has put the blood, he has obeyed the Lord, and the Lord has said he will pass over. 5 to 12. The other one, shaking, fear. He wants to go outside once more to make sure the blood is there, but the father is saying, you know, you better stay inside now because you have to be inside to be secure. Oh, he said, yeah, I almost forgot. Okay, I stay inside. Shaking. Fear. He knows, yes, the father tells him, listen, we put the blood, you have checked it 20 times. You will be okay. He's still afraid. He could be lost, he could be killed. The other one knows, I put the blood. And the Lord has said, I will pass over when I see the blood. Which one of them is more secure? Which one of the two is more secure? They are both secure the same. 100% secure the same, because they have put the blood outside. The lamb has been killed in the one house instead of the firstborn, and the lamb has been killed in the other house instead of the firstborn. A sacrifice was given. They have obeyed the commandment. They, God saved, they have surrendered to Christ in New Testament language. They have applied the blood to themselves. They have said, yes, Lord Jesus, you have died on the cross as the Lamb of God. You have taken all the judgment away. You have borne the judgment. And one is saying, so I'm now free. I know I am saved. And the other is saying, oh, I hope that is enough. Yes, I believe I have, you know, I've surrendered to Christ, yes. I've confessed my sins, but I don't know if I'm really secure. You know? That's the difference. One knows. The other doesn't really know. But both have done what is important to be saved. What made them so secure? The blood is the one. Is the lamb that was killed and the blood on the doorpost is the first thing. And the one that was secure in his heart, the neighbor who was, you know, just sitting at the table and eating the lamb and just waiting that midnight would pass without being too afraid, he knows that the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Now, what does it mean for us? Do we have any verse that could help us? See, the firstborn that was secure, he he believed in the word of God. And when it comes to the knowledge of salvation, there is nothing else but the word of God. So I would like to turn now and to read a few verses in the word of God in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life." You see, the firstborn that was secure in his heart, that had no knowledge, he was saying, "I have passed from death unto life already. Yes, the angel is going to pass this house. I am not worried. I have passed unto life already." Can we read that once more? It says here, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." You see, once more, everlasting life, eternal life, is a present possession of the believer. And then, "He shall not come into condemnation." Do we need anything more? "He shall not come into condemnation." Yeah, but what happens if he sins? If we still sin, do we not come into condemnation? It says here, "He shall not come into condemnation. He has passed from death unto life." Chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 47. "Verily, verily," again, twice, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." What peace fills our hearts when we know this. Can we trust his word? Can we trust his word today? If we were still not sure, can we trust him tonight? Can we get the security of salvation? Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" It is the word of God, the only foundation for us to be sure in our hearts. Do we want to make him a liar? It's very serious now to still doubt about our salvation. Very serious. I will go as far as say that we make God a liar. Because in 1 John, it says in chapter 5, in verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son." 1 John 5, verse 9. And then, verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." Do we make God a liar? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Saints, friends, once we have been saved, once we have received everlasting life, we can be sure and certain. We can have the knowledge of this wonderful fact. And the Word of God is the basis for it. Knowing it is the basis for joy. And God wants us to be joyful Christians, to be peaceful Christians, to be those that are enjoying the salvation. Look what David writes in Psalm 51. He says in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
yes,
and uphold me with thy free spirit." Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And this is our third point and third subject tonight, the joy of our salvation. We have seen the way of the salvation and the security of it, that the Lamb has died and he has done it all. He has taken the judgment away. We have seen that we can know that we are saved We can really know that? But now we want to enjoy it. And if our security is based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of it on the Word of God, then the joy of our salvation is only based on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one, as we just read, that can give us the joy in our hearts. So what happens if we sin? Do we lose our salvation? Can we lose it? No, we cannot. But it is still something terrible to sin. It cuts the communion with our God. Yes. It takes our communion, our fellowship away. Yes. It takes the joy away. Mm. The joy that we will feel is depending on our walk, how we walk. And I'm going to show this again in Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 9. We see verse here in verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You see? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Our walk is most important. Chapter 13 of the same Acts. And verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Do we understand the importance of be filled of the Holy Ghost? In Ephesians we are even told that we should be filled with the Holy Ghost. If we want to have the joy of our salvation, we have to be filled of the Holy Ghost. We have to walk a life of holiness. That we are sanctified in our lives. And the Holy Spirit then can fill us truly. So that we could say with the psalmist, with David, as he said in Psalm 21, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy spirit. What if we sin? What can we do? We want to live holy lives. We want always to walk according to our calling. We want to please the Lord, the one that saved us, that gave himself for us. We love him so much that we want to please him. He, the one that was rich, became poor that we might be rich. Don't we want to give him everything we have? Materially, health-wise, our strength, everything? But then, we realize we still have the flesh. Our holy life is not as holy as we would like to see it. Yes, we are called saints, but sometimes we don't act according to the calling and the position. Now I have sinned. What do I do? Can I be lost once more? No, we have read that. We have passed from death to life. We have everlasting life. If we have everlasting eternal life and it has started already on the earth, it cannot stop. How can it stop? It goes on, it goes on, it goes on. It has started, it continues in heaven. So, what happens if I sin? I can then go out and I can sin as I want? No, definitely not. If somebody is talking like this, I believe he's no Christian at all. He has not understood what the Lord went through on the cross of Calvary. Yes. And we'll see that even a little clearer. So I'm saying, the one that has the Spirit in him, he wants to please the Lord, and then he sins. The Spirit is grieved. And then, what can we do? What is the remedy? Again, we turn to the Word of God. And again to our first epistle of John, it's very important for our subject. And in chapter 1 we read the well-known verse, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. He wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? We just have to come to Him. Say, please save me again? No. We want to confess our sins. And He says He's faithful and just. Even just, you see. How can He be just? Is it just that He forgives us? Because we are justified. We are put in the position as justification is just if we had not done it. The Lord Jesus has taken away. The Lamb of God was slain for us. We are inside the house. Outside the posts are full with the blood. So we know that we are secure. And if we were to speak again in Exodus 13, we know the Lamb has been killed. It has redeemed us. So we don't pray again, please save me. No, we are saved already. But we confess our sins. We want to get right with the Lord once more. Now, some would say, yeah, that's all very nice. But I know one. He has been living 10 years with the Lord. And now you should see the life he's living right now. He has always said he was a Christian. He seemed to be a Christian. But now he's living a life that is terrible. That you wouldn't recognize him as a Christian no more. He's doing all these sins that the Word of God even says that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I see him, what he's doing there. What is happening with him? You see, he's not even coming to the Lord confessing it. At least he does not change his ways. So what happens with him? But you see, when somebody lives like in this sin, it's either he was never really saved, he was just living an outward life, but he never really came to the Lord for salvation of his soul, or it is truly a Christian that has fallen away from his life that he was living. And he's now living a life that is not according to the will of the Father. And this is where the Father comes in. If he was a child of God and is now disobedient, is he still the child? Of course he will always be the child. My son, if he is disobedient, will he still be my son? He's always my son. So the same thing for the believer that now lives in or falls in sin. And falls again in sin. And even it seems that he's not doing much about it. Now look at his life. The Father will come in. Can I just read one more verse in 1 Corinthians 11? 1 Corinthians 11. It says in verse 32. When we are judged. Or 31 for connections. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You see, this is what we should do. We should confess our sins. We should judge ourselves and go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will forgive us our sins, cleanse us. He will do that. But now we're talking about this person, this Christian, that is not judging himself. Now the Father comes in, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Father comes in, and He will, so to speak, take the whip, and He will put that Christian right, His child. He will make him come back one day. Because if he was not doing this, he would be lost, condemned with the world. That is the danger. Some, you see, all our works will be tried. This is another part. And there will be works that are of silver and of gold and some of hay and straw and wooden. And the fire will test it. And it says that some, everything will be burned away. The works that they had done. But themselves, they will be saved as through fire. They will be just like, just taking out everything they had in this house where they were, is burned up. But the firemen could just take them out, just the person. They were just saved, but they are saved because they have passed from death to life. They have everlasting life, even though they have sinned again. Even though they are dishonoring the Lord, you know their sin unto death. The word speaks of sin unto death. That's very serious. That is for Christians. Not that they get lost once more. No, that we could be in a position that we dishonor the Lord so greatly, publicly, openly, that He has to take us away for His glory. And if He has to do so, He might have to let us die. He says, "My child, you are dishonoring me so much. It is terrible. I cannot even leave you on the earth. Your light is not shining anymore. It isn't doing so much. People are watching you, are telling you, pointing their hands to you. Look at this preacher, what he's doing." You know, when preachers start to fall apart, preaching the word of God on Sundays, and then living throughout the week's terrible life, they are in danger. They are in danger. God will not allow His name to be blasphemed because of a preacher. So, it could be that somebody has sinned unto death. But normally, you know, we have a resource, we come, we confess our sins to the Lord, and He forgives us. This is wonderful. I would like to give you one more verse that is really encouraging for our hearts, and this is Ephesians 1. Just to show you how secure we are. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, and reading again from verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory the first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see how secure we are? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's the seal of God. He's not going to break it. But chapter 4 verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, what? Otherwise the seal will be broken? No. It says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord telling us. We don't want to sin no more. We don't need to sin no more. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But if we did grieve Him, do we then? Are we lost again? No, it says, the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed, we are secure until the day of redemption. And then we will be with Him in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I would like to summarize what we have learned. And to make very clear that no one will want to walk in darkness. Nobody will say, okay, I'm sealed. Then I can live on the earth the life I want. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. Wonderful. Let's live a life of fun. No. We cannot say this at all. Again, the first epistle of John is helpful for that, chapter 1. And there we read, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie. That's how clear it is. Yeah, read it again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with Christ, and we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see how important it is to have fellowship with other Christians, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not that it is only important to have fellowship, but here it is saying that our fellowship is based on the work of the love of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship that you and I, we can have and enjoy, is based on the same work, because He died for you, He died for me, and me knowing that He died just as much for you as He died for me, shows to me that you are just as important to Him as I am important to Him. And so I will respect you, and you will respect me, and we will have communion and fellowship and love each other. How wonderful. This is all found in the blood of Jesus Christ. But what I want to show is this. If we walk in the light, we have the fellowship. But if we walk in darkness, then we lie. It shows clearly. If someone is living in sin, we cannot say that he is saved, because his works are not showing it. The word is very clear about that one. The fruits will tell what kind of tree it is. But at the end, the Lord knows the heart of each and every one. And so we don't want to judge. We can only judge the fruit. And from that, we also have the Word of God for us to judge. When we see certain sins going on, the Lord is clear about that. There's a list of sins showing that when you live in that sinful life, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But on the other hand side, once we are saved, we are saved forever. Salvation is secure because the Lamb of God has paid the price. We can know this for sure because we have applied, spiritually speaking, the blood to the doorpost. And because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have received the Spirit of truth, we can enjoy our salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to be sure? To know about the security, to know about the certainty, and to have the enjoyment of our salvation. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, indeed tonight we thank Thee that we can understand this blessed truth of the fact that Thou hast died as the Lamb of God for us. Thou hast taken away the sin of the world, and that by understanding this and believing in Thee, Lord Jesus, we are being justified, we are saved. And now we are safe and secure, and we can know it because Thy Word, Lord Jesus, testifying over and over the many verses that we have read, that we have then received everlasting life already. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for this truth, for this knowledge, and we ask that Thou wouldst help us that we would be always filled with the Holy Spirit to enjoy truly our salvation, to live holy lives, to walk according to our calling, worthy of our calling, to be those that would be lights in this world, to be those that would be of good testimony, to be those that would honor Thee in our daily walk. Lord Jesus, once more we thank Thee tonight that Thou hast opened Thy Word to us, that we can hold this wonderful Word in our hands. But most and foremost, we thank Thee for who Thou art, precious to our hearts. And this morning we could sing, Lord Jesus, we love Thee, we love and adore. And these subjects, they really make our hearts to bubble over and to be joyful and even to adore Thee, Lord Jesus. We thank Thee once more for this opportunity to preach Thy gospel and even to dig deeper in Thy Word, and do so in Thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.